I'm going to tell you a story.
Oh, is it a Christmas carol?
It's about Christmas. Oh, it's not the usual Christmas story.
Oh, it's not.
This is a scary one.
Oh, it could be a Christmas carol.
All about witches and ghosts.
Oh, it's definitely not a Christmas carol.
It was London on a cold and bitter morning, the day before Christmas. And I, Ebenezer Scrooge...
Oh, it is a Christmas carol. Oh, we'll deal with that later. Run the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, should have seen a trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. Let's start off with the interactive bit. Hello. And scene. That was nice. So, I've had a few emails. You know, three people have been in contact about the same thing. In the last episode, I mentioned a new version of a Christmas carol that's coming out, a British version called Christmas Karma. In the episode before that, I was talking about a Johnny Depp one that's coming out next year. But three people, and that is Ross Taylor, Mary Pulte, and Benjamin Hall, all contacted me to let me know about a new Hallmark version that's already been released this year called Christmas Among the Clouds. And Benjamin Hall's watched it and said it's all right. Ross Taylor watched it, said he didn't think much of it. So there we go. So if you haven't heard of it, go and check it out, Christmas Among the Clouds. I'm going to have a look for it. I don't have the Hallmark channel, but I might have somewhere else I can stream it, so I'll have a gander. But thanks for sending that through, guys. There you go, boys and girls. Another version of A Christmas Carol for you to check out. Also, I got an email from Benji Pearson, friend of the show, and I don't know if you remember this, but in previous years, he's dressed up as Jacob Marley and the Ghost of Christmas Present for Halloween. Well, this year, he wanted to dress up as the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, and we did talk about it briefly on the show a while ago. Well, for Halloween, he did dress up as the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, and kids, it looked fantastic. He sent me some pictures, and he really did look the business. Very impressive, complete with gravestone and everything. Well done, Benji. Blinding job. I will try and remember to put the pictures on Facebook, but I won't lie to you, kids. I'm pretty naff at updating stuff on Facebook. It's just not something I do, really. Not very good on social media. Not my thing. Now, also, I've heard from devoted listener Kevin Church, and he's got some questions he wants me to answer. Now, they're not all Christmassy, but we're going to answer them anyway. So question number one, he's put, when you talk about people like actors or singers, you and other Brits say they are called. For example, I'm called Jack. And he's put, it seems inhuman. Things are called, people are named. Even our pets here are named. Saying called seems more appropriately reserved for inanimate objects. Why, Jack? Why? Well, I can't really answer that. It's just the way we talk here in the UK. I was sort of racking my brains thinking, is that just a British thing? Is that not something that you hear in other countries? I really don't know. It's just something I'm used to saying. Anyway, question number two. Have you heard of medieval times dinner and tournament? It's become a bit of a Christmas tradition for my family. The feast is coincidentally Christmassy because it's so raw, old-timey and based around roast chicken. Check it out. Not something I've seen over here, medieval times dinner. No, but I'll check it out. I will. I'll have a look into that. Number three. Do you have any non-Christmassy things that have inadvertently become Christmas traditions? Maybe you could ask your listeners if they have other non-Christmas Christmas traditions. Do you, folks? Do you have any non-Christmas Christmas traditions? I can't think of any, actually. I suppose all the things we do at Christmas, we consider them a Christmas tradition. One of the things me and the girls do is on Christmas morning, we just stand out in the road and just wave at all the cars as they're going by. And it's lovely because people always wave back. It's not particularly Christmassy, but we do it at Christmas, so it is Christmassy. And normally we've got some tinsel wrapped around us and Christmas hats on, stuff like that. Anyway, finally, number four. I'm catching up on episodes and noticed in number 129, you say maths. The S in that word makes me cringe. I understand the logic. Here in Canada, the trend in recent years to say maths is because there are different types of maths. Okay, I gotcha. There are different types of music, but you would punch anyone who said musics. Square in the nose, Jack. Square in the nose. Well, here's the thing, Kevin Church. KC, as he likes to be known, possibly. It's mathematics, isn't it? is maths is short for mathematics. That's why we have the S at the end. It's maths, mathematics. Don't get upset because I'm right. Okay, well, those are questions. Thanks for getting in touch, Kev. He's also given me a recommendation for an audiobook, so I'm going to check that out. And if it's any good, I'll put it in the recommendations in a later episode. I think that's all the housekeeping. It's probably not. Quite a few people got in touch with their scores from the quiz, and sometimes they'll add a little message, and then I think, oh, I'll mention that in the show, and then I forget about it. So if you did send me a message and I haven't mentioned it, you've got to forgive me. I beg of you. Let's get started with this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
So, boys and girls, the bit before the theme music was a little taster of which version of A Christmas Carol I'm going to be talking about today. And last episode, I talked about Mickey's Christmas Carol, and I mentioned that before Mickey's Christmas Carol, there was an audio version of it, a recording that they released. And this week, that's what I'm talking about. Now, I found it on YouTube, the whole thing's on there, and I've listened to it numerous times. And do you know what's interesting, boys and girls? The Mickey's Christmas Carol version, the cartoon that we're all familiar with from 1983, isn't really an adaptation of Dickens' A Christmas Carol. It is an almost direct adaptation of this audio version of A Christmas Carol. It is almost exactly the same. The main difference is you've got some songs in this one, and a few of the characters are played by different characters, if that makes sense. It will do when we get to it. I'm not going to go into all the details of the making of it and that sort of stuff, like who did what voices and things like that. Not something I'm particularly good at. I will start by saying it was released on vinyl in 1974, and that's pretty much all I'm going to say. I'm just going to run through it and tell you what the differences are between this and Mickey's Christmas Carol. And like I said, boys and girls, there ain't many. Now, this version is narrated by Scrooge McDuck, or should I say Ebenezer Scrooge. And it starts off, well, I played it, you know, the introduction where he's introducing the story. And then it's him walking through the centre of London and you hear some other voices, someone saying Merry Christmas, someone else saying Penny for the Poor, Governor. And then he says this bit.
Old Marley, he robbed the widows, stole from the orphans, swindled the poor. They don't make men like Marley anymore. In his will, he left me enough money to pay for his tombstone. And I had him buried at sea.
Now, I played that in the last episode. And when I played it, I said that he actually turns to the camera and breaks the fourth wall when he says it. And that was because in the cartoon, it was taken directly from the narration. And therefore, I suppose that's why he had to break the fourth wall. Otherwise, who would he have been talking to? And then he goes into his counting house and we meet Mickey, who is, of course, Bob Cratchit. And the dialogue is almost word for word, the same as the cartoon. There's a couple of slight differences where they have to explain what's going on because you couldn't see it, but only very minor things. And again, he asks for half a day rather than a full day, which I mentioned in the last episode does annoy me. And we also find out that Mickey does Scrooge's laundry. Then we get a song straight away and it's this.
The only thing that counts with me is money. The only thing I'm counting on is cash. The happiest time of day is when I put my coins away, lock 'em up, bolt the door and dream about mustache.
Yeah, that's pretty much just Scrooge talking about how much he loves money, really. Then in comes nephew Fred and it's Donald. And again, the dialogue, almost exactly the same. One thing I did notice, and I don't remember this from the original version, he says this.
I suppose you're going to have a plump goose with chestnut dressing.
What?
And will you have plum pudding and lemon sauce?
What?
With roast squab and pickled raisins?
Yes, yes.
And candied fruits with spiced sugar cakes?
Yes, when you can.
Now, I don't remember him mentioning roast squab with pickled raisins, but if you're not aware of what squab is, it's not something that I think is mentioned in the book, but it's something I'm aware of. It's not something I've ever tried, but a squab is a baby pigeon. And the word squab is where we get the word squabbling from, because baby pigeons in their nests, like, they wrestle and tussle a lot, and that's where we get squabbling from. Anyway, Mickey does have to say Fred's bought a Christmas wreath, because obviously we don't see the Christmas wreath in this version, and he says, can I hang it? And Scrooge says this.
Master Fred has brought us a Christmas wreath. May I hang it on our door?
You do, and I'll hang one on you.
And he kicks Donald out, and it's slightly different, because I think in the cartoon, Donald seems a lot more pleasant. In this one, well, he's still very pleasant, but you hear this.
And bah humbug.
And that's a very common noise that you hear Donald make, but you don't hear him make it in the cartoon version. Not a fan of that noise, to be honest, but you know, there you go. And then we get a song, which is this.
Everybody ought to get up early, but not to see the presents neath the tree. If Christmas cheer they're looking for, a cup of tea's enough to pour. That's the way Christmas ought to be.
And at this point, we get the first example of the characters being different. In the original version, the portly gentlemen were Ratty and Mole from The Wind in the Willows. Not The Wind in the Willows, sorry. The Tale of Mr. Toad, which was adapted from Wind in the Willows. But this, boys and girls, is the worst example of casting against type you will ever find anywhere. And it is Honest John and Gideon from Pinocchio. Yeah, you know the cat and the fox that try and like kidnap Pinocchio and do other nasty crap? Well, would you believe it, boys and girls? They play the portly gentleman. Unbelievable. And the dialogue is pretty much the same. There's a little bit added in this. Let me play it for you. Have a listen.
Do you do this all year long?
Oh my, yes. It's a big job raising money for the poor.
Ah, then this is your job, raising money for the poor.
Yes, Mr. Scrooge.
Well, you realize if you give money to the poor, then they won't be poor anymore, will they?
Well,
And if they're not poor anymore, then you won't have to raise money for them anymore.
Well, I suppose.
And if you don't have to raise money for them anymore, then you would be put out of a job. And on Christmas Eve. Oh, please, gentlemen, don't ask me to put you out of a job. Not on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, so that bit at the start where Scrooge says, "Is this your job all year?" He doesn't say that in the cartoon. I found that kind of interesting that they'd added that little bit to make the joke work a bit better, because as we know, if you've read the book, the portly gentlemen aren't really charity collectors, they're businessmen who are trying to raise a fund out of the goodness of their hearts. Yeah, in this version, they're actually more like charity workers. Other than that, pretty much the same. Then Scrooge actually lets Cratchit go 2 minutes early, and he says, "But be here at work 2 minutes early the day after Christmas." He's like, hang on a minute, he's working half a day tomorrow. Why don't you get him to be here 2 minutes early on his half day? Why's it got to be the day after that? By then, he might have forgotten about the 2 minutes. Yeah, I reckon they've forgotten he was going to be back at work for half a day on Christmas Day. And then Scrooge leaves, and there's a little bit that I like. Have a listen to this.
As I walked the crowded street, I took no notice of the merry people hurrying home to their loved ones.
Wait your way for a penny, sir?
I'm used to this fog, you beggar. I can find my own way.
What I liked about that is it mentions in the book that people would go in front of carts with what's called a flaring link. And if you don't know what a flaring link is, you should, boys and girls, because I covered it in a previous episode. A link was like a tar torch that they would light and guide the way through the fog. And people would be paid to do that. And this guy offers to do it for a penny. Scrooge ain't interested. Then he goes to his melancholy tavern, and we find out about the door knocker changing. And this is all narrated. Then he goes upstairs, and in comes Jacob Marley. All very similar to the cartoon version. And he asks him, listen to this.
Why are you wearing those chains?
I don't know. Chains are in this year.
And it annoys me, that does. Because his joke is chains are in fashion or whatever. But then later on he explains why he's wearing the chains. So it's like, look, make up your mind. Either you know or you don't know. Then Goofy sings a song.
Being tired is not all right. Ebenezer is all wrong.
What? That's pretty much that. And he leaves. Then we get another change of character. So in the cartoon version, the Ghost of Christmas Past is Jiminy Cricket, who I love. I think he's great. In this version, he's actually Merlin. Yet Merlin the Wizard from The Sword in the Stone. Yeah, and have a listen to this.
Are you the spirit I've been expecting? Who are you? I pray thee, ask me not who I am. Rather ask me what I am. Okay, what am you? I am Merlin, the magician.
He asked you who you are, and you said, don't ask me who I am. And then you tell him who you are. What's that about? Just tell him who you are. Goodness. I'm so glad they changed it from Merlin to Jiminy Cricket. Having said that, if it was in the cartoon, if it was Merlin and the recorded version was Jiminy Cricket, would I prefer the Merlin version? I don't know. Anyway, then he goes back in time, just like in the cartoon, to Fezziwig's party, and we get this song.
Oh, what a merry Christmas this is under the mistletoe. Candlelight and kids and kisses warm from the fire's glow.
And then the dialogue is identical of Scrooge being under the mistletoe with Isabel, and her name is Isabel in this, as well as being in the cartoon. Then they say this.
A score and 5 years have passed now, Ebenezer Scrooge. Look down there. Your first year in the counting house.
Right, a score is 20. So they're saying this is 25 years. Now, what are they saying? From when? From when Scrooge was born? Is he 25 now? Or from when he kissed Belle under the mistletoe? Now, I don't know how old he was meant to be at that point, but say he was like mid-teens at the youngest, well, that would make him like in his mid to late 30s now. What's that about? I don't understand that. Why did they have to say a score and five? Why don't you say a few years later? They quantified it and ruined it. Now, again, the dialogue is almost exactly the same as in the cartoon, apart from he says this.
For years I've had this honeymoon cottage, Ebenezer. I've been waiting for you to keep your promise to marry me. Now I must know. Have you made your decision?
I have. Your last payment on the cottage was 7 minutes late. I'm foreclosing the mortgage.
Yeah, 7 minutes late. Well, in the cartoon, it says an hour late. I don't know why they changed that. I don't really care. But it seems strange that they did. That's all. Then he goes back home and we get the Ghost of Christmas Present. And he's the same giant. And they do a joke that I think is a ripoff of like Johnny Carson. Have a listen.
I'm so fat that...
How fat are you?
I'm so fat that when I'm in the room, no matter where you look, I am.
I think that's a Johnny Carson thing, is it? I don't know. Anyway, they go to Bob Cratchit's house and have a listen to this.
Don't eat yet, my dear family. There's more to come. On top of this marvelous bird, we have... one raisin each.
Ooh.
Half a walnut.
Ah.
Two grapes.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I found that mildly amusing. In the cartoon version, you get to see it, so they don't have to describe it. But of course, in this version, they do have to describe it, and it's very funny. Well, mildly funny. Okay, it's not funny at all. And in this one, Minnie speaks. She don't say much. She says this.
Please, not when we're eating.
But at least she speaks, because she didn't speak in the other version. And at this point, I've got to say, I don't think Mickey sounds a lot like Mickey Mouse. I don't think he's the best version I've ever heard. But there you go. Then they have a lovely song. Here it comes.
You know something? We've got a pudding! What? It's smaller than a single plum. But today, we'll share with one another.
We'll share our love.
And then Scrooge ends up back in bed. Now, in the cartoon version, it goes straight from the Ghost of Christmas Present to the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. And he ends up in the graveyard. But this one, he goes back home. And we get another change of character. Now, in the cartoon, the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come is played by Pete. But in this version, it's the witch from Snow White. And this is pretty much all she says. Yeah, you just get her laughing. So instead of silence, like the proper Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, you get her laughing. Until the end, actually. And here we get another change from the cartoon because they go to the Cratchit's house first. Now, in the cartoon, they only go to the graveyard. But in this one, they go to the Cratchit's house and he can see that Tiny Tim's not there. And then they go to the grave. And we hear the gravediggers chatting.
You know, Harold, I never saw a funeral like this one.
Right. There was nobody about. No mourners, no friends, no one to shed a tear or bid him farewell.
And then Scrooge says, who are they talking about? And we get the witch's only other line. Here it comes.
Just read the inscription on the tombstone. It's you, Ebenezer Scrooge, the richest man in the cemetery.
Yeah, exactly the same as what Pete says. And then Scrooge wakes up in bed and we get this lovely song.
Let's all share this timely thought. It's better to give than receive. What a glorious Christmas morning after our Christmas Eve.
So then Scrooge rushes out and he sees the portly gentlemen, only they're not portly gentlemen, they're Honest John and Gideon, again, unbelievable, and he gives them a lot of money. We don't get the scene with Nephew Fred, there's none of that bit at all, we don't see Nephew Fred at all. What we do get is him going to the Cratchit's house and we get some different dialogue. I'll play a bit, have a listen to this.
Why, Mr. Scrooge, what?
I came to tell you, bah humbug. And to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge. Yes, Merry Christmas! Everyone, look who's here! It's Mr. Scrooge!
Yes, it's Mr. Scrooge. And I've brought Christmas presents for you and all the children.
Oh.
And something for Mrs. Cratchit, too.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Scrooge.
But, Mr. Scrooge, I don't understand.
What do you mean you don't understand? Why, only yesterday you told me Christmas was a time for giving. Well, now I'll tell you what Christmas is. 'Tis a time that once a year, men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely and celebrate the joy of the season.
And then we get a reprise of the song from earlier, How Christmas Ought to Be, where they've changed it to good things instead of bad things. And then we get the most annoying and pointless scene to end it all, and that is the day after Christmas. And do you know what? I might as well play it all for you in full. Here it comes.
The next morning, I was early at my counting house. Oh, I was early there. As early as Bob Cratchit was late. Well, Cratchit.
Good morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Good morning, indeed. You're late, Cratchit. You're 18 minutes late. Have you a guess at what I'm going to do?
You're going to discharge me, sir?
No. I'm going to give you a raise.
Oh, what?
Fetch the coal scuttle, build the fire, warm the counting house. The warmth of Christmas love will dwell in this place every day of the year. Let it be said that no one will ever keep Christmas as well as Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, that infuriated me. Because it's like, look, he's already been nice. He's been around Cratchit's. He's taken a lot of food and presents around there. And he's clearly a really nice guy now. Did he spend the day there? We don't know. But I'm guessing he spent a little bit of time there. And then the next morning, he's turned back into an asshole. I'm not having it. It's pointless. Absolutely pointless. They should have either had him go to Fred's or they should have ended it with this bit. But they didn't. I'm most upset. And then we end on the song again, which is Glorious Christmas Morning, which we played earlier. And that's it. So there you go, boys and girls. If you've watched Mickey's Christmas Carol, you don't really need to listen to this. But if you do want to listen to it, it is on YouTube. You can just have a listen there. It's something. It's interesting. I think the one thing that really stood out is just how similar Mickey's Christmas Carol is. I was amazed that they stuck so close to this audio recording. They used it as a template, and that's what it is. And Mickey's Christmas Carol is fantastic. But I sort of wonder how different it would have been if they just decided to do an adaptation of A Christmas Carol rather than an adaptation of this audio version. But there you go, boys and girls. Thought I'd cover that. I did. Now let's do this.
Where are you, Christmas?
Where are you, Christmas? How about Northumberland and Oxford, England? This episode's Where Are You, Christmas? Is a bit unconventional at first, because it takes the position that the Harry Potter movies are holiday films. While not solely about Christmas, they do share many of the same themes that we associate with the holiday, and arguably they resonate with the spirit of the season. Many of the Christmas scenes are emotional points in the film, in the festivity and the magic just creates a holiday atmosphere. So, you can visit Alnwick Castle, which is located in the town of Alnwick in Northumberland, Northeast England. It is the filming spot used heavily in Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone and Chamber of Secrets. And it was used when Hagrid is shown bringing in the Christmas tree. If you want to visit the Great Hall, where the long wooden tables were dressed for Christmas with glittering goblets, tableware, and thousands of floating candles hovering in the air, take a 5-hour trip to the Christ Church Great Hall in Oxford. No filming was done in the actual Great Hall of Christ Church itself, but it was the inspiration. The dimensions of the hall on the movie set are the same, and it looks pretty close. While in Oxford, you can also visit the Oxford Divinity School that made a cameo appearance in Goblet of Fire, where Professor McGonagall teaches the students how to dance for the upcoming Yule Ball. Finally, you can finish up your tour at the Warner Brothers studio in Leavesden, about an hour away. This is where they filmed over 10 years worth of Harry Potter films. And of course, where you'll be able to discover many of the sets and the props that they use for production and see the actual sets where the films were made. Now, if you know of another enchanting location full of old world grandeur and festive halls, you conjure it up for Jack, he'll summon it for me, and we'll tell you where to find Christmas throughout the year.
That's an interesting one, that is, because I can see his point. Harry Potter is very Christmassy, but is it Christmas? Christmas adjacent? I don't know. A lot of my friends have been to the Harry Potter Warner Brothers tour, and it's something else. It really is. If you're a big fan of Harry Potter, you'd absolutely love it. Yeah, so thanks for that, Bob. He'll be back again in a bit, but right now, we're going to do this.
I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing! I'm in a store, and I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
So, boys and girls, I've got a bit of a treat for you this episode. Every year, I chat to my US correspondent, Scott Newman, the host of, or joint host of Tinsel Tunes, and also joint host of the Christmas Morning podcast. And every year, I play him some British Christmas songs. And this year, do you want to say hello first, Scott? Sorry, just sitting there saying nothing. Do you want to say hello?
Yeah, it's great to be back here, Jack. Thanks for having me. You know, I wanted to tell you that I am starting to see a few British artists that you have played for me in the past. You know, I've either seen them on television, on we have Music Choice, which is part of our cable subscription. It's a music channel. You tune it in, you hear music.
Yeah.
I'm seeing some of those. And then on Spotify, I hear even more of these British artists. Not a lot of them, but like this year on TV, Greg Lake was on.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I Believe in Father Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not a song that you typically hear in the U.S. very much. And on Spotify, I hear Fairy Tale New York all the time. And that's not something that's typically played in the U.S. Either.
Okay. Oh, that's good. There you go. So you're getting a bit of culture. That's nice.
I am getting a little culture, yeah. It used to be I just learned my British culture from Peppa Pig, but now I'm also getting it from you, so I'm well-rounded.
Yeah, that's all you need. That is all you need.
Right.
So this episode, boys and girls, I'm going to be playing, Scott, a number of versions of the Band-Aid single, Do They Know It's Christmas. Now, the first one was massive. It's one of the 10 biggest selling songs of all time globally. Since then, it's been re-released a number of times to lesser and greater success. And I have played one of them for you before, Scott. I don't know if you remember. I think it might have been the first year.
I think it was the 1984 version.
No, it was the 1989 version. It was the first,
really?
It was the first year we spoke. And and you hadn't heard of many of them. I remember that. So we're going to play the versions. I'll tell you a little bit about them. Not a massive amount, tiny bit. And then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, the only one that I'm very, well, I can't even say very familiar with. The only one I'm familiar with is the 1984 version. I know of the other ones. And you sent me some videos just to watch, and you said don't research these, so I didn't.
That's what happened. Yeah. That is what happened, boys and girls. So the first one is massive. Do you know what the problem they had is? I think there was something in there, some of the lines that stopped it getting a lot of radio play in the US.
Really?
I don't know if it's the line where it says tonight thank God is there, because if you mention God in a tune, quite often it gets banned.
Oh.
I remember hearing that about God Only Knows by the Beach Boys, I think, had a problem with that when that was released. Although that might have been in the UK.
Yeah, that would have been the 60s, so I can see that.
It was, yeah. But anyway, it didn't do that well in the charts in the US. I think it got to like number 12 or something like that.
Huh.
But it did sell millions, but over a longer period. I don't bloody know. No, it did. That's not what it was. It sold a lot, but it didn't chart very high because it wasn't getting much radio play, something like that, I think.
Well, that line itself is still very weird to me, and I was noticing that last night when I was listening to the lyrics. I was paying a little more attention than I normally would when I just hear a song because I knew I'd be talking to you today and I didn't want to sound like an idiot. I'm still probably going to fail at that, but the line is, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you or instead of me?
Yeah, instead of you, yeah.
That's a weird line. You're watching these people in Africa that are starving. Thank God it's them instead of you.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what he's saying.
But why would you say that? Like, thank God it's them, it's not me. Is that the point of it?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's a horrible thing to say.
I never really thought of it like that. I don't know.
If I'm pulling off of the highway or the freeway and I see somebody, you know, stand there with a sign that says, like, hungry, you know, need food, I don't say, good thing it's them and not me that's hungry. Like, that would be a terrible thing to say. I would never say that in front of my kid.
Do you know, I had a mate that whenever anything bad happened to me, he's like, well, it could have been worse, mate. Could have happened to me.
Yeah, better them than me, I guess. But it's just a weird line.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because that is the one line that stands out that... Well, I could get into it later. I will get into it later. I'll get into it later.
Okay.
Okay, so the first version is the classic. It's 1984. In the UK, it spent something like 5 weeks at number one. It was the biggest selling single of all time in the UK for many years until it got overtaken by Candle in the Wind by Elton John, I think. Let's play a bit of it for you.
Yeah.
But say a prayer. Pray for.
So this is the game we're going to play. I'm going to list, or I've printed them out. I'm going to list all the artists that were in each version.
Okay.
You've got to say, it's a quick one, quick fire round. You just say yes or no.
Okay.
If you've heard of them. Okay. I reckon the first version, I reckon there's a lot you'll have heard of. Some of them, I will say what band they're in as well.
Yeah, please do, because I'm going to know a few of these names, but spoiler, I'm not going to know at least 60 to 70% of them.
I think this first one, you're going to know more than 50%.
Okay, we'll see.
We'll find out, won't we? That's the whole point of this.
That is the game, yeah.
Right, ready? It's quick fire. Yeah. I'm not going to keep stopping and starting.
Okay.
Robert Cool Bell from Cool and the Gang.
No.
You've heard of Cool and the Gang? That's enough. That's enough, Scott.
I've heard of the Cool and the Gang, but I've never heard of Robert What's-His-Face.
No, I haven't either. If you've heard of the band.
Okay, fine.
Fine.
So, yes.
U2, Bono from U2.
Yes.
Phil Collins.
Yes.
Ultravox.
No.
Boomtown Rats.
No.
Bananarama.
Yes.
Boy George.
Yes.
Glenn Gregory, that's Heaven 17.
No.
Tony Hadley from Spandau Ballet.
No.
You never heard of Spandau Ballet?
No, that sounds made up.
It is. It's not made up.
No.
Simon Le Bon from Duran Duran.
Yes.
Marilyn.
No.
George Michael from Wham.
Yes.
Rick Parfitt and Francis Rossi from Status Quo.
No.
Sting.
Yes.
Midge-Ure.
No.
Paul Weller.
No.
Paul Young.
No.
Well, bugger me.
I know, you're looking at me like, how do you not know who Paul Young is? Or, you know, I actually looked up, like, who is this first guy singing? And said Paul Young. And I was like, who the heck is that?
Okay, well, you got 8 out of 18 there. And Paul Weller was in a band called The Jam, and he was also in a band called The Style Council. He's one of the biggest artists in the UK, so that's a shame.
Yeah, I've never heard of either of those.
The Boomtown Rats, that was actually...
Boomtown Rats sounds like something I might have heard of, but it's definitely not something I'm familiar with. Who are they?
Well, so Bob Geldof, the guy that wrote and helped and organize the whole thing, or helped write it.
Did he write the song itself or just organize this whole thing?
I think it was him and Midge-Ure.
Okay.
I think they wrote it together, but if not, it was mainly Midge-Ure, who you didn't know as well. And he's Ultravox. He was the lead singer from Ultravox.
I don't know that one either.
You might know the song. Right, here it comes. This feeling inside, baby, you and I, this means nothing to me. Oh, Vienna.
No, I know that was a perfect karaoke version, but I've never heard that.
Okay, that's something. Yeah, so Boomtown Rats, that was Bob Geldof. Midge-Ure was Ultravox. The other ones that surprised me, Spandau Ballet were pretty big. Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. I know this much is true.
Is it the song that goes, da, 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 da? No, that's a different song.
The one I just sung. Yeah, no. That one. The one I just sung, Scott. Are you listening?
There's nobody, something, something.
Well, that's not how it goes.
Yeah, see, I don't know this song.
That's just, okay, I'm fine. Status Quo was a massive light rock band that you might have heard of.
Never heard of them.
And that's, yeah, and Paul Young, I thought he'd made it over to the States as well.
I don't think so.
Okay, right, well, there we go. Okay, so the next one is Band-Aid 2.
First time we let in light and we banish shade, and in our world of plenty we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time.
No, Now, the deal with this one, you've listened to this one before on the show.
Okay.
5 years after the original famine in Ethiopia, it happened again. It was another really bad year. So Bob Geldof contacted Paul Waterman from Stock. It's not Paul Waterman, it's someone Waterman. He contacted some bloke whose surname's Waterman. It might be Paul Waterman. From Stock Aitken and Waterman, and said, could you get something together? So he apparently he cancelled his honeymoon to record the second version of Band Aid. And this one, I reckon you're going to get at least three.
All right, let's try.
Now, this is the only act, I think, that was in both versions, and that's Bananarama.
Yes.
Big Fun.
No.
Bros.
No.
Kathy Dennis.
Nope.
D-Mob.
No.
Jason Donovan.
No.
Kevin Godley.
Nope.
Glenn Goldsmith.
No.
Kylie Minogue.
Yes, I do know of her music, yes.
The Pasadenas.
Nope.
Chris Rea.
Is he the Driving Home for Christmas guy?
Well done, yeah.
Yes, that I know that one, yes.
Cliff Richard.
Oh, yeah, that's that horrible mistletoe and wine guy, right?
Yeah, you love him.
Yeah.
Jimmy Somerville.
Nope.
Sonia.
Nope.
Lisa Stansfield.
No.
Technotronic.
Nope.
Wet, wet, wet.
You're making that up.
No.
No. Then no.
Okay, so you got four.
Out of how many?
17.
I told you it was going to be low.
Okay, so here's the thing. I think Lisa Stansfield, I think she might have had some success over in the US because when we played this last time, I got an email from someone saying he was listening to the episode and then we mentioned Lisa Stansfield. And he went off and started listening to her, and it was like months before he came back to my podcast.
Hmm.
So he'd obviously heard of Lisa Stansfield. He was a fan. Wet, 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 they had the song from Four Weddings and a Funeral. It was a cover of the Troggs version, Love Is All...
Love Is All Around?
Is it Love Is All Around? Yeah, Love Is All Around.
I thought Love Is All Around was from... what's that movie with Hugh Grant?
Yeah, Four Weddings and a Funeral.
No. The one that everyone says is a Christmas movie, but I think it's barely a Christmas movie.
Love Actually.
Yes, that one.
Now, that's Christmas Is All Around.
Okay, but isn't the joke in that movie that the pop star had that song and then just changed like one line and made it a Christmas song?
Yeah, that's it. So that song, Christmas Is All Around, is Love Is All Around, that was by the Troggs. And when that was released, that was at number one for 15 weeks in the UK. It's like the second longest ever run. And that was Wet, Wet, Wet. So I'm surprised you...
No, I never heard of that.
Okay, well, that was the second version.
Let me ask you, though. You obviously like these songs quite a bit, right?
Well, here's the thing. I do. I don't mind. I'm interested in them.
Yeah.
But it's only the one that gets all the airplay is the first version.
Yeah, and they play the first version here in the U.S. as well. The others I have never heard played in the U.S., but I was curious what you thought about the second one, because I watched the first one, and then I watched the video for the second one. And when I was watching it, it felt like these artists wanted to be there for the notoriety of being there. It felt less authentic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. And then
it got worse and worse as it went on.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it looked like a PR stunt by the last one.
Yeah, and in the first one, like, no one's wearing makeup and everything.
Yeah.
And it's all just, they've got out of bed and they've gone to record. The second one always felt a lot more lightweight. And that's the only version of the proper official Band Aid ones where Bono doesn't sing that line we were discussing. It's sung by Matt Goss or Luke Goss.
Bono wasn't in the second one? I thought he was in all of them.
No, that's the only one he's not in. Of the proper versions, yeah.
And which is the first version that has the rap in it?
That'll be next. That's the one we're coming to next.
Okay, this is really where we start getting in the dregs.
Okay, so that was Band Aid 2, a classic. It does get a little bit of airplay, that one. A little bit.
Okay.
I suppose I wouldn't be able to give percentages, but I'd say you're probably looking at least 80% of airplay as the original. And then that one and Band Aid 20 maybe get possibly as much as 10% each, maybe less than that.
Okay.
Okay, so now we're up to Band Aid 20. So this was 20 years after the original one, and there wasn't a massive reason for it to be re-released. I think it was just an anniversary thing, so they thought they'd record it again.
This is the one that had Madonna at the beginning of the video?
That is the one, yeah, where she talks, okay. But she doesn't sing in it. Yeah, exactly.
Has she ever sang in any of them?
No, I don't think so.
That was really weird then.
It's mainly British artists, though. It really is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think the first one, the only American artist in that is Kool & the Gang that we mentioned. And I think they were in the studio next door or something. And that's why they came over and recorded.
You know what else is pretty funny that stood out to me when I was watching these, Jack, is Sting looked very, very young. in the 1984 video. Like I was like, oh, well, that's obviously Sting, but holy cow, he looks young. Phil Collins has always looked like a middle-aged gym teacher from the 80s. Like, it doesn't matter what year it is. He always looks the same. I understand, yeah. Like, he's really going downhill now because he's getting quite old. But it's not like, oh, that's a different Phil Collins that I remember from the 90s or something. No, he just looks exactly the same to me all the time.
Yeah, you're right. He didn't change much.
He's always bald. He's always wearing frumpy clothes. It was pretty funny to me when I was watching that.
It's funny because he's in the video, and he's quite cool in the video. There's a bit where he sort of points the camera or something. But he doesn't... Oh, no, he's doing the drums, isn't he? Yeah. But he doesn't... Yeah, he doesn't sing in it at all, which is funny. But I suppose he's doing the drums, so.
Oh, that's interesting. I would have guessed that he would have at least done some vocals for it. He didn't?
No, well, I think they all did the vocals in the chorus, but you're not going to be able to pick anyone out of that, you know.
Sure.
So this version, it was the 20th anniversary. Well, they added the rap that you mentioned earlier. That's Dizzy Rascal.
I didn't like that at all. I just cringed when I watched that. I didn't care for it.
Yeah, I know.
I understand they're trying to make it modern for modern audiences. It felt like such a departure from the original that I hated it.
Oh, I hated it. Okay. It was pretty big, actually,
really?
This one. When this one came out, they made a real big thing. Like you say, it was a bit of a PR stunt.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's sort of got their makeup on. Everyone's looking their best. I remember watching a documentary about it before they'd released the single, and everyone wanted to be part of it.
Yeah.
I suppose they sort of thought it might cement their place in British culture.
And that came across in the video. Everybody was mugging for the camera versus that first one that just had that real authentic, we want to just be here to do something good.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so here we go. We're going to list through them.
I'm going to guess on this. I'm going to guess zero.
Well, I know for a fact you're going to get at least one. I'm going to say, I'm going to go five.
No, not a chance. I'll eat my hat.
Do you know what? I reckon, actually, including some of the musicians that don't sing,
okay,
I might even go as high as seven.
Wow. Okay, I'll be as honest as I can here. Let's do it.
Okay, so Tim Wheeler from the band Ash.
Nope.
Daniel Bedingfield.
No.
Natasha Bedingfield.
No.
Bono.
Yes.
Busted.
No.
Chris Martin from Coldplay.
Yes.
Dido.
I'm going to say yes. That name sounds familiar.
This is she. She's a female singer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she had one hit in the US.
She does the backing to Stan, you know, by Eminem. Tis gone cold, I'm wondering why.
Oh, wow. Okay, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dizzy Rascal.
Nope.
Miss Dynamite.
No.
Sky Edwards from Morsheba.
No.
Okay. Estelle.
Not Adele. Feeder. No, you didn't say Adele, right?
Not Adele. No, don't get excited.
No.
Feeder, the band Feeder.
No, you made that up.
Feeder, no? Okay.
No, I've never heard Feeder.
The Divine Comedy.
Nope.
The Darkness.
No, I don't think so.
Jamelia.
No.
A band called Keen.
No.
Beverly Knight.
No.
Lamar.
No.
All Saints.
Nope.
Katie Melua.
No.
Maloko.
Nope.
Rachel Stevens from S Club 7.
No. I've never heard of her or that band.
Joss Stone.
Yes, I have heard of her, and I know what her album cover looks like, but I wouldn't be able to pick out her music, I don't think.
Sugar Babes.
No.
The Thrills.
No.
Turing Breaks.
No.
Robbie Williams.
Yes, he was in that movie where he was a cartoon monkey, wasn't he?
That's the one, yep. Will Young.
No.
Fran Healy from Travis.
No.
Snow Patrol.
Oh, it sounds familiar, but I have to say no.
Danny these are musicians now. Danny Coffey from Supergrass.
Nope.
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I've heard him once or twice, yes.
And Tom York from Radiohead.
Yes.
And that gives us seven. I was exactly right. Hooray for me.
Yeah, when I was watching the video, I saw the Hofner bass.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Paul McCartney. I mean, that's his iconic bass that he plays. That's the model. And I was like, Paul McCartney's in this? And yeah, it obviously it was. Did he do any vocals, though?
I don't think so, no. I think he just played bass, yeah. He might have been like the ensemble at the end where they're all singing together.
What a waste, right?
Yeah.
Come on, like, you got Paul McCartney here. You've already probably paid his fee or whatever to have him show up. Like, you can't get a couple vocals?
Yeah, I don't know. That's
weird.
That's a good point, actually. You would have thought, yeah.
Yeah, like, that would lend even more credibility to it to me at least, because I don't know any of these other people, but okay.
That song was Christmas number one. I think all the first three were all Christmas number ones. Yeah, and that was when it came out, that was massive. You know, everyone, like we said, everyone wanted to be part of it, and it sold by the bucket load. It did really well again. Much more than the second version, that one. Before we move on, actually, I just want to go back to that line we were talking about. So Robbie Williams and Justin Hawkins from The Darkness. Ah, you have heard of The Darkness because I've played one of their songs for you, Christmas Time, Don't Let the Bells End.
Oh, that was one of those songs I absolutely hated.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that still gets the airplay. Like, they were very big for a very short period of time, and luckily they got out a Christmas single that's still going strong, so still earning the money. But at the time, when they were re-recording the single, it was like a big thing who was going to sing that line, the Bono line.
Okay.
And Robbie Williams wanted it, and so did Justin Hawkins, apparently. And I think Justin Hawkins was quoted as saying something like, I sung it better than him. I don't know why it didn't go with me. Or something like that. But then I heard his version of the line and I didn't think it was that good, to be honest. But then Bob Geldof just decided to go with Bono again. So that's what happened. Okay, so now we're going to Band-Aid 30. Let's just play a bit for you.
Where a kiss of love can kill you, and there's death in every tear, and the Christmas bells that ring there are the clanging chimes of doom. Well, tonight we're reaching out and touching you. Bring peace and joy this Christmas.
Right, I'm going to go 5 on this one.
Oh, that'll be surprising. These are getting progressively worse.
So this was 30 years after the original, 10 years after Band-Aid 20, and it was around the same time as the Ebola crisis, so they actually changed the lyrics. So you might have heard just then in the bit we played, the lyrics were different.
And okay, yeah. And that was in the video too. At the end, it said something about, it just says the virus.
Yeah, that was it. So that was Ebola. That was when it was done.
Well, I wasn't sure when I first saw it, were they talking about AIDS or were they talking about Ebola? But Ebola makes more sense.
Yeah, exactly. It was Ebola, yeah. So, yeah, so they changed some of the lyrics a bit, including the line Bono sings. So, yeah, so you would have heard that just then, possibly, kids. I don't know what I'm playing for you. Before we do this, this one wasn't a Christmas number one. It was a number one. I think it might have only been for 1 week. It might have been two. It wasn't a massive one like the other versions, and it didn't stay around. I think it was released in November, and it was sort of lingering a bit lower down the top 10 by Christmas. So, here we go. Bastille.
No.
Bono.
Yes.
Alfie Days.
No.
Paloma Faith.
No.
Guy Garvey from the band Elbow.
That's not real. No.
Ellie Goulding.
No.
Angelique Kidjo.
No.
Chris Martin from Coldplay.
Yes.
Sinead O'Connor.
Yes.
One Direction.
Tangentially, yes. I know of them.
Rita Ora.
No.
Ollie Mers.
No.
Emily Sandé.
No.
Seal.
Yes.
Ed Sheeran.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Smith.
Yes, I know the name.
Joe Sugg.
No.
Zoe Sugg.
No.
Carl Hyde from Underworld.
No.
Jesse Ware.
No.
Clean Bandit.
Nope.
Roger Taylor from Queen.
Wow. The Queen? The band from the 70s? Wow. What did he do in Queen? I only know Brian May and Freddie Mercury.
Roger Taylor was drums.
So I guess, yes.
Okay. Well, I hate to say it, Scott. I was wrong. You got 8 that time.
Wow.
That's as many as you got in the first one.
That surprises me.
Yeah. So by this point, people sort of were losing interest a bit.
Yeah. That is my same experience when I was watching the videos too.
Well, you were losing interest.
I was really losing interest by this point, yes.
Well, I think there was a bit of backlash, and I don't know, it raised a lot of money, the first one did, and they've all raised a lot of money. But the problem is people have come out and said that the way they portray Africa in the song has actually not helped Africa overall. So they might have raised some money, but actually it's created...
Was it create stereotypes or something? What is the problem?
Yeah, like it's created an image or stereotype of Africa that is backward and there's lots of disease and everyone's dying and everything's bleak. Whereas, you know, certain parts of Africa might be like that, but a lot of Africa is nothing like that. And that's what the people's problem are with it. Yeah, Ed Sheeran was in that Band-Aid 30, but apparently, so the next one, it was released again for the 40-year anniversary, which was last year.
Oh.
It only got in the top 10. It only got to number 8, I think. I heard it once, and I never heard it on the radio or anywhere else. And This one was actually, it wasn't re-recorded. It was like a mashup of previous versions.
Oh.
So you had the same lines sung by different people and then...
A clip show.
I could have played a bit for you, but I just couldn't be asked because it was such a non-event, sadly. And when they re-released this, they obviously using the artists from previous versions, Ed Sheeran came out and said, well, if I'd been asked, I probably would have said no to letting them use my vocals again, which I thought was a bit of a shame that he'd say that. But, you know, this it was shame they did it, actually. They should have either done it with new artists or not bothered at all. And he did what he did, Bob Geldof did, and it sort of weakened the source. So that was our... Those were the proper versions of Do They Know It's Christmas, the official ones.
Yeah, the only proper one in my mind is the first one.
Yeah, I think to a lot of people, to be honest. Yeah, I do agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we've got the Lad Baby version. Now, I don't like Lad Baby purely because I feel like he's not recorded a Christmas number one in the last 2 years. Was it just definitely just last year? I'm not sure, but he got the Christmas number one 5 times with songs about sausage rolls, and it really annoyed me.
Yeah, but I like the sausage roll song. I went through a little sausage roll phase in my house.
You did, yeah. You sent me the pictures.
Yeah, my 12-year-old daughter loved the song, too. We were singing it nonstop. We're driving my wife crazy. It was awesome.
Which one was that?
The I Love Sausage Rolls. It's the I Love Rock and Roll one.
Yeah, he's done a few. I forget. Yeah. I think he did We Built This City on Sausage Rolls.
Oh, yeah. We sang that one a lot, too.
I forget. There was one other, and then he did a cover of the Ed Sheeran and Elton John one.
I watched the video last night because it was in the, you know, it was like the next one down in the list after the Band-Aid one.
Sure, that's funny, that is, because when the Elton John and Ed Sheeran version was released, their original single, it was at number one. I don't know if it's one for 2 weeks, 1 week or 2 weeks. And then for Christmas number one, it was the Sausage Rolls version with Lad Baby and Ed Sheeran and Elton John. So fair play to them for being part of it. But I don't think he's that funny. I don't think he deserves it. That's the problem I have with it.
Well, I get your point, and I'm removed from the whole Christmas number one thing. We don't have anything like that here, but I can see why a song that's silly and catchy would get more airplay or be more popular, but that doesn't mean it's a better song when it comes to music or anything like that, or the singing.
Well, they are good songs, because he's taking classics, isn't he? He's taking classics and then changing lyrics to talk about sausage rolls. I don't find that funny.
I find it funny, but mostly because we don't have sausage rolls here.
Well, if he's singing about burgers, would you find it funny?
Yes. There's a Bluey song about a burger dog that's great.
Burger dog. Burger dog. Yeah. Yeah, we all love burger dog. Yeah, but Bluey can't go wrong. But Lad Baby can't either. Okay. Look.
To be fair, I can see starting to get really tired of Lad Baby's whole shtick after a while.
Yeah. Well, he still seems very popular, though, to what he's doing, I guess.
Good for him.
So you enjoyed this version, then? After the 1984 version, after the original, this is your second favorite, was it?
Yeah, because it was fun. It was novel to me.
On every corner.
I should describe it to you, boys and girls. So you've got Lad Baby, who's this guy that is a YouTuber, and his wife. They have had 5 Christmas number ones. They did a version of Band-Aid. And if you watch the video, it's mildly funny. She's all excited because she's going to meet all these famous artists. And then they turn up and it's a bunch of lookalikes. And the first one, did you know who the first one was when it's like they turn up and it pans to the first guy? Do you know how that's going to be?
Oh, the first one was Ed Sheeran, wasn't it?
No, it's before that.
Oh, then no.
When it's all like cuts to his face, when she comes up and she's like, and she looks at him, and the first person it cuts to is meant to be Paul McCartney. And he don't look a lot like Paul McCartney.
The Ed Sheeran guy kind of looked a little bit like Ed Sheeran.
Yeah,
and the
bit.
Elton John guy looked like somebody ordered Elton John on Temu or something. And
yeah.
And that's what arrived. I found that pretty funny.
I forget who else they've got there, actually. Anyway, it's just him and a bunch of lookalikes of famous artists and his wife, and also a guy called Martin Lewis, who is the money saving expert. And he used to be on the radio and TV a lot, suggesting ways to save money. And he had a website that was called themoneysavingexpert.com, and he sold it for over £100 million, I think, or something stupid. It was nearly 100 million, but it's a ridiculous amount he sold his website for. And he's got a podcast now, I think it's a BBC podcast. So he's a very, very famous guy that gives you suggestions on how to save money on your bills and things like that.
But I want to ask you about him. him because he had a surprisingly good voice.
Yes, he did. I thought that. Yeah, I thought he did a very good job.
So I was like, oh, well, that was shocking when I was watching the video, and it was a really good voice.
Yeah, I thought that as well, actually. So half the money from that went to Band-Aid, and the other half from that went to the Trussell Fund, Trussell Trust, which is like a food charity in the UK that all of Lad Baby's money from the singles he's released has gone to. So the fact that I dislike all his music, at least it is all for a good cause. I should mention that. So I've mentioned it.
Yeah, the video that has Elton John and Ed Sheeran in it, like he's wearing a shirt that says Feed the UK.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And it was very, very apparent in that one.
Yeah. Yeah, so that one was Christmas number one. It did all right. I don't know how much money it made, but that was the Lad Baby worst.
But I would have to imagine it's more popular than like Band-Aid 40 or 30 or whatever.
Probably more popular. Well, it was more popular than Band-Aid 40. I'm not sure about Band-Aid 30. I think Band-Aid 30 did do all right. Yeah.
Do these become number ones for Lad Baby because people are like, oh, here's Lad Baby again. So like he's got a built-in, I don't know, like not audience, but like, of course he's going to get to number one. He always gets to number one and it becomes a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's what seemed to have happened. Like the first year, you know, it was like, well done. And then the second year, it was like, oh, him again. And then after that, it just sort of seemed, it just kept happening. And then it was, I don't know if it's last year or the year before when he actually didn't release one. And it was like, I don't know why he didn't. I don't know if there was some other charity single came out and he didn't want to go up against it or something like that. I'm not sure what it was.
Or he ran out of sausage roll ideas.
Maybe. Or maybe he was getting a lot of hate mail. I don't know. Let's move on from the sausage rolls.
Okay.
Okay, well, that was the Lad Baby version. Now, the last one we're going to look at today is a chap called Lee Francis, who plays a character called Keith Lemon, very popular in the UK. He was also Avid Merion was a character he played as well. He's a comedian. He's got a TV show in the UK called Celebrity Juice, which is like a game show or quiz show with celebrities answering questions about celebrities.
Is this the video with the lockdown?
Yeah. So during lockdown, he sent out a tweet saying who wants to be...
I don't have a freaking clue who any of these people were.
There's a long list here. I wouldn't be surprised if you knew one or two of them, but we'll find out.
Yeah, that would be surprising. Because I didn't understand what was going on. There was a guy in a bear suit singing. Didn't know what that was. Either this Keith Lemon guy that you're talking about, kind of, was he like a UK version of Weird Al or something? I didn't understand what was happening.
Well, actually, that's a good point because you might have heard of him. I don't know if I've ever played it on my show, but I know Merry Britsmas did cover one of his Christmas singles. He did release two Christmas singles.
Oh, I love that show. That is a good British podcast right there.
I know. As British podcasts go, it's the best one, I know. But there's others out there. There are other British podcasts out there, Scott. Keep your ear to the ground. You might find out about it.
Okay. All right. If I come across another good one, I'll let you know. I
appreciate that. So it wasn't Keith Lemon. It was actually, he had a TV show called Bow Selector, and it was called Proper Crimbo. Come now, sing with me, Proper Crimbo.
Oh, I've heard something about Crimbo before. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I might have had it on my show, but I know he definitely could. That's crazy. I remember it on Merry Britsmas, but I don't remember it on my show. I think I did. I think I did do it one time. Anyway,
okay.
So he did a couple of Christmas singles. And that was probably late 90s, early 2000s. Then lockdown came. He sent out this tweet, said, we're going to do a version of Band-Aid. I think he checked with Bob Geldof first, and Bob Geldof was fine with it. And all the money went to some charity. I don't know which one. It might have been Band-Aid, might have been half and half. I don't know.
It's the bitter sting of me.
And the Christmas bells that ring there are the clanging chimes of doom. Well, to land, thank God it's them instead of you.
Hey! Everyone be laughing.
Everywhere, it's Christmas time.
Lot of people, not all musical artists. A lot of them are just famous people.
Every frame, there was a new face
in
there. And I was like, how deep is this bench?
There's one guy with his shirt off. I don't know if you saw that.
That guy was ripped.
I don't care. Put your shirt on, mate.
If I looked like that, you would never catch me with a shirt. I wouldn't even wear pants. Like, oh my gosh, that guy was ripped.
Yeah, well, I do look like that, Scott.
You do.
Listeners, I do, all right? Don't argue, I do.
To be fair, you are a male model, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Most of them haven't seen me, Scott, and I do. But sort of like, imagine if Brad Pitt was more handsome and more muscular. That's me, all right? I never take my shirt off, ever, even in the shower, because I don't want to flaunt it. And this guy, everyone else is clothed. Why has he got his shirt off? And it's probably the middle of winter. He's like, you've got my shirt off. Yeah, because you're a douche, mate. He is ripped, but you're a ripped douche. Now, I'm going to say four.
Okay.
I reckon you might know four of these people.
Okay, let's give it a go.
Okay. Richard Madeley.
No.
Jade Jones.
No.
Emma Bunton from the Spice Girls.
Oh, yes.
Rick Astley.
Yes.
Fern Cotton.
No.
Denise Welsh.
No.
Ronan Keating from Boyzone.
I've heard the name, but no, I wouldn't recognize him or his music.
Okay, we've got three girls from Girls Aloud. Kimberly Walsh, Nicola Roberts, and... Oh, no, sorry, just Kimberly Walsh and Nicola Roberts.
No.
Girls, you've never heard of Girls Aloud?
I feel like you might have mentioned them once.
No, I don't think so.
No, definitely not then.
Gabby Roslin.
No.
Cleo Rocos.
No.
Peter Andre.
No.
Max Beasley.
No.
Ricky Wilson.
No.
Pixie Lott.
No.
Jenny Powell.
No.
Will Miller.
No.
Emily Attack.
No.
Joel Dommett.
No.
Alex Brooker.
Nope.
Matt Goss.
No.
Chris Kamara.
No.
Joey Essex.
Nope.
Richard Blackwood.
Nope.
John Barrowman.
No.
Dexter Fletcher.
No.
Denise Van Outen.
Nope.
Duncan James.
No.
Gino DeCampo.
Nope.
Fleur East.
No.
Brian McFadden.
No.
Billy Ocean.
The guy from the 80s?
Like Billy Ocean, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of Billy Ocean.
Paddy McGuinness.
No.
Nadia Sawahala.
No.
Ben Forster.
Nope.
Anna Frail.
Nope.
Okay, right, so you got, oh, it was three. It was three out of 38.
That was a good guess on your part. And kind of the point here is I'm standing in as the everyman United States guy, right?
Yeah.
That's the point here. It's, I know it makes for compelling radio and I just keep saying no, but...
I know, I thought that. I thought people listening to this are like, this is shit. Don't worry, kids.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah, but the point is I've never heard of these. And if I've never heard of them, probably the average... American probably hasn't heard of them either. I'm sure there are people that are way, way into music and know a lot of these artists. I'm not one of those people, and I can pretty confidently say that my peer group would not have heard of these either.
Well, sadly, a lot of those were just, some of them were just reality TV stars that wanted to get their face on the video.
Okay.
Most, like I said, a lot of them weren't musicians or whatever. There's a couple of ones I want to point out. Anna Frail, she was really famous in the UK. She was in a soap opera called Brookside, and I believe she had the first lesbian kiss on British TV. She was in the film Limitless with Bradley Cooper. Do you remember that?
That's the one where he takes a pill and he starts using more of his brain or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So she was in that film. Yeah. That was like, that's the only Hollywood film I can think of that she was in. She wasn't really his love interest in that, but she was like his ex or something. So Dexter Fletcher, who you didn't know, he directed Bohemian Rhapsody, and he also, they called him in to direct the second bit of Rocket Man because the old director fell out of the production. I don't know what happened. Anyway, so he took over that one as well. He's directed a lot of stuff, and he was also in Bugsy Malone when he was a kid. Have you ever seen Bugsy Malone?
No, it's a mobster movie.
Yeah, but it's all children. All the gangsters are played by children. Instead of guns, they're using custard pies.
I've never heard of that.
Have you not?
No.
Look it up. Try and watch it. Stream it if you can. Do you know what? I bought it on DVD a few months ago so the kids could watch it.
Huh.
And they didn't mind it. And the only other one I want to mention is Matt Goss. He was in the band Bros. And he was in the second version that we mentioned earlier, Band Aid 2 from 1989. So I guess he's the only one out of all of them who had been in a proper version of, yeah, that I can see, that would actually have been in a version of Band Aid, a proper version of Band Aid. Yeah.
I can't say that I enjoyed this version, mostly because I had no idea who all these people were. It was a well-put-together video, and I can only imagine how difficult it would be to take, I don't know, 38 different audio tracks and try to put all these pieces together. It must have been a ton of work. And for that, it was somewhat enjoyable, but it didn't mean anything to me.
No, me either, sadly.
And there was the guy with the bear suit, and I was like, what the hell is happening here?
Well, I'd only heard of it when I started researching this a few days ago, and that's me being in the UK. So clearly, okay. It didn't do a lot when it came out.
No,
yeah.
Did not make it here, I can confidently tell you that.
Yeah. Before we go, actually, I just want to say, so I didn't make any notes, and I should have, but some of these versions did actually do really well overseas.
Hmm.
In the US, I think the only version that really made a big impact was the first one, possibly Band Aid 20 hit the charts, but the lower ends. But Band Aid 20 did get to number one in a few countries around the world. Band Aid 30, I think, got to number one in two countries, but also charted in a number. Yeah, and the Keith Lemon one obviously didn't do particularly well. And Lad Baby, that purely is a British thing. So there you go, boys and girls.
Well, no matter what, I'm glad these exist. I'm glad the money is going to help people in need. I think that's wonderful. Even if I hate the versions, at least they're doing something good for somebody else. So I applaud them for that.
That's right. That's it. That's the way you got to look at it, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, there we go, boys and girls. That was it. I hope you played along with the game, and I hope you scored better than Scott. Pretty dismal, to be honest, Scott, but I'm not holding it against you.
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen, though.
Okay.
That goes along with the same way I do in your quizzes. Like, it always starts off, like, real strong. The first couple questions, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've got this. I start my email to you, get it all ready, and then the whole thing goes bosoms up by the end, and I'm like, oh, just forget it. I'm not gonna send it to Jack and get made fun of for my lousy score.
I do occasionally mock the odd person if it's that bad, yeah. Well, do you want to, while you're here, Scott, do you want to plug your podcast?
Yeah, I do Tinsel Tunes with Dwayne, and that's a monthly show where we go into the history of different famous Christmas carols and songs. And then I also do Christmas Morning with my buddy Bran from Deck the Hallmark. Right now, between November 1st and Christmas Day, we're doing daily episodes during the week. So you can hear me 5 times a day if you really wanted to. I don't know why you would, but we do that. And then after the holidays, we go weekly again.
Okay. Check it out, boys and girls. Thanks for coming on. It's always a pleasure. We'll see you next year.
Yes, I'm looking forward to next year. Maybe we could do something that I will have a better showing, because every year I come on and I just look like an idiot.
I don't think so. I think it's just, you know, you either know it or you don't.
Yeah, these I definitely didn't. So we'll just have to see what happens in the future. But I'm looking forward to being back.
Thanks, Scott.
Do you hear what I hear?
I always like to remind patrons at the Tiki Bar that you can't buy happiness, but you can buy a drink, and that's kind of the same thing. When it comes to holiday decorating, Etsy is my favorite site to visit. It is one of the best places to find unique Christmas crafts because it's filled with creations made by independent artists from around the world. You can find ideas and items that you don't see at the local hobby or craft stores. I came across a do-it-yourself kit to build a white and silver snowy Christmas house made from waste cardboard and a recycled polystyrene food box or a styrofoam food container. The kit was surprisingly simple, but more of a surprise was the description. It is rare in our streaming environment to find a "do you hear what I hear" phrase that I've never heard before. I mean, with so many English series and movies on Netflix and other sources, you kind of get accustomed to various Britishisms used in the dialogue. I mean, a chuffed, a prat, a naff, here or there. But once in a while, there is a new one. I mean, I can recall when I first heard Bin Man. I knew what they meant, but I had never heard the word before. Or yonks. That was a new one too. However, they are becoming rarer to find. So I was surprised a few episodes ago when Jack was talking about Refrigerator Day and he mentioned the term polystyrene. As I saw on Etsy, the description had polystyrene and styrofoam being used interchangeably. What was I thinking? What the heck is polystyrene? I have never heard this description in the States, despite the efforts of the Dow Chemical Company. For you see, in England, styrofoam is not a commonly used term. Instead, the material that we call styrofoam is called polystyrene there. Now you might laugh and think, oh, it's that Brits, they got it wrong and they came up with some strange science-sounding word when they can just go with something simple, like styrofoam. But no, it was the Americans. Styrofoam is a brand name that we in the US use as a generic term, but in the UK, they use the true name for the material, polystyrene. The name styrene comes from styrax, which is the name for a tree and its resin in the Semitic languages. Polystyrene is a hard, colorless, thermoplastic resin, which is a polymer of styrene. Now, this all began in 1941 when an engineer at Dow Chemical tried to create a rubber-like substance mixed with polystyrene. Instead, he invented styrofoam, which was used for life vests and flotation devices. The styre is from polystyrene, connected with O and foam. But it became a victim of its own success. The U.S. public began incorrectly calling a lot of things styrofoam that were just polystyrene. Dow has been trying to fix this for the past 60 years. I mean, the vast majority of cups, plates, and other things that we think are styrofoam, well, they're just a different form of polystyrene, expanded, as opposed to styrofoam, which is another type, extruded. It is important to note that styrofoam is the name for the blue-colored foam typically used for building insulation, not the white foam widely used in food packaging and disposable cups. With styrofoam, the extrusion process minimizes the amount of air that gets into the material, so it is tough and it is used in houses because there's less air. It's very difficult for water to seep in through such material. Now, expanded polystyrene, the source that is used for the food packaging, it is 97% air, so it is definitely not styrofoam. I don't know how this happened. We Americans are smarter than this. What to use a trademark to describe something it's not? I am gonna have to Google this and make a Xerox of my notes so I don't forget. And hey, hand me a Kleenex. I think I'm about to sneeze. Cheers and happy Christmas.
You know, that was amazingly interesting, but what I find most interesting is that the word polystyrene isn't known in the US. And I would have thought that it was one that not necessarily had translated over, but people would be aware of. But no, clearly not. Little aside here, there was a singer in the band called X-Ray Specs. They were like a punk band from the 70s, and her name was Polystyrene. Yeah, it was a stage name. Great work, as ever, from Bob there. If you're not listening to Bob's podcast, there couldn't be a better time, because it's Christmas. It's called Festive Foreign Film Fans, and him and his mate Mark talk about festive foreign films. Check it out. You won't regret it. Now let's do this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. It's the quiz, boys and girls, and would you believe 20 people have sent me their scores? Do you know what? This is great. The numbers are going up and up. And the sad thing is, I just keep thinking, yeah, well, let's see how many people send them in come January. That's how I look at it. Goodness me. Right. Here's the scores, and with a fantastic 2 out of 10, we have Jeffrey Yonkin, and the reason I say that's fantastic is fair play to you, Jeffrey, for sending it in, because you could have said, no, I'm not sending that in, I don't want no one to know, I only scored 2, but you stood up, and you told us your score. Well done, Jeffrey. With 3 points, we have Kira G. With 4 points, we have Kieran Coates, Jeannie G, Mark Westcott, and Nettie Thibault. Nice to hear from you, Nettie, hope you're doing well. With 5 points, we have Mary Pulte, friend of the show, David W., John Gomez, Barbara Wright, Pamela Wooten, she loves hearing me say her name, Jack Unverfirth, and Jennifer K. With 6 points, we have Patrick Keane and Mark Goodman. With 7 points, we have Nicola McLean, Benji Pearson, and 2 Christmas podcasters, Mike Westfall from the Advent Calendar House, and Adam Parker. And with 8 points, well done to David Ferguson. Well done, young man. Okay, those were the scores from last episode. Let's see how you get on this episode. Question number 1. Where would you be if Père Noël delivered your presents? Where would you be? And don't say in bed. That's not good enough. What country are we talking about? Question number 2. Frumenty was a thick porridge-like mixture that contained spices and dried fruit that was popular in medieval times. But what Christmas dessert did it inspire? Do you know that? Well, then write it down. Or just don't write it down. Just think about it. I don't know how you do your answers. Question number 3. True or false? In Ireland, families don't have Christmas trees. Is that true? Is that false? Question number 4. In which European country do they celebrate La Missa del Gallo for the rooster that crowed when Jesus was born? I didn't know a rooster crowed when Jesus was born. Do you know why? Because I wasn't there, was I? And it's not mentioned in the Bible either. I don't think. Question number whatever. In which country is it common to have a barbecue on Boxing Day. It's common. Because that's what happens, right? You're having a barbecue and people walk past going, oh, how common. They're having a barbecue on Boxing Day. That's not how they mean common. That's not what they mean. Next one. Which is the German equivalent of Happy Christmas? Now, I'm going to give you three options. Is it Bitter Weihnachten, Frohe Weihnachten, or Stille Weihnachten? Well, I'm pretty sure Weihnachten means Christmas then. So you've got to say, is it Bitter, Frohe, or Stille? Which one? Okay, next one. In Greece, it is common to see which of the below decorated at Christmas? Is it apples, boats, chairs, clocks? Which one is it common? Again, someone's out there decorating their clock or their chair and people are walking past going, oh, how common, they're decorating a chair or clock or boat or an apple. Whatever it is, it's very common. It's, again, not that type of common. Oh, we've got another true or false one. In Switzerland, Santa is known as Sammy Klaus. Is that true? Is that false? Sammy Klaus. Oi, Sammy! Sammy Klaus! Woo! That's how they greet him in Switzerland. Next one. Which Italian city is famous for its nativity scenes, known as Presepe Napolitano? And the final question. Where might you eat ackee, saltfish, and curried goat at Christmas? You want to hear that again? Ackee? Yeah, you know what that is? Neither do I. Saltfish and curried goat. Where are you eating that at Christmas? Right, now it's the answers. You ready? Where would you be if Père Noël delivered your presents as France or also Belgium? Yeah, just it literally translates as Father Christmas. Question number two. Frumenty was a thick porridge-like mixture that contained spices and dried fruit. What Christmas dessert did it inspire? That is a Christmas pudding. Okay, true or false? In Ireland, families don't have Christmas trees. Of course that's false. They have huge Christmas trees decorated lavishly. Next one. In which European country do they celebrate La Misa del Gallo for the rooster that crowed when Jesus was born? Well, I put Spain. And the answer was Spain. Hooray for me. Next one. In which country is it common to have a barbecue on Boxing Day? Well, this is annoying, right? Because I thought, yeah, Australia. And then I thought, oh, Boxing Day. Well, I know they have a barbecue on Christmas Day. So do they have it on Boxing Day as well? I don't know. Or do they have a barbecue on Christmas Day? And I thought, well, what about South Africa? And that's what I put. What was I thinking? Of course it's blimmin' Australia. Oh, curses. Okay, which of these is the German equivalent of Happy Christmas? Bitter Weihnachten, Frohe Weihnachten, or Stille Weihnachten? The answer is Frohe Weihnachten. That was B, the second one. Okay, next one. In Greece, it is common to see which of the below decorated at Christmas? Apples, boats, chairs, or clocks? Well, it's boats. I knew that. So part of me thinks I might have covered it in a previous episode. Another part of me thinks maybe I haven't. So there you go. Next one. In Switzerland, Santa is known as Sammy Klaus. Is he? He is. Yeah, they call him Sammy. All right, Sam. Samuel. Samuel Klaus. Woo! That sort of thing. Next one. Which Italian city is famous for its nativity scenes known as Presepe Napolitano? And I thought, first Italian city came to mind, Rome. And then I thought, hang on a minute. Napolitano, that sounds a bit like Naples. Maybe it's Napoli or Naples. And the answer was Naples. Yes! Score! And the final question. Where might you eat ackee, saltfish and curried goat at Christmas? Well, if you put Poland, like me, you'd be wrong. Yeah, it's Jamaica, isn't it? Jamaica. And I didn't make her. She did it herself. But that's where it is. And I'm disappointed in that because I got 8. I should have got 9. I don't know why I didn't just stick with Australia. Don't know what I was thinking. But there you go, boys and girls. That was the quiz. You know what to do. Now the quiz is over, you have to send me your score. The email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. You don't have to write anything. Just the subject can be the number. That's all you have to do. I ask very little of you. All I ask you to do is put the podcast in your ears, and once it's come out the other end, send me a score. Those are two things I ask you to do. Listen to the podcast, send me a score. So do it. Do it now. Don't think, oh, I'll do it later. Don't think that. You'll forget. I know you will. I know you. Do it now. Do it right now. Merry Christmas. And that is it for this episode, boys and girls. I really hope you've enjoyed it. Christmas is coming. Christmas is amongst us. I've started listening to Christmas music, started chucking on the old Christmas film. I mean, I do that all year round anyway for research and stuff. But, you know, Christmas, it's wonderful. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And do you know who said that? Andy Williams. And he's dead now. So what does that say? I want to say a massive thank you to Scott Newman for coming on the show again and talking about those versions of Do They Know It's Christmas? And of course, thanks to Bob Baker for his two segments. Great work, boys. If you want to get in touch, you know what to do. Send me an email at totalchristmas@gmail.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. But in the meantime, you know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
What a glorious Christmas morning after Christmas.